Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tanis, Chaf Zion. Started the fourth parak yesterday. We started the Mishnah, as we pointed out, in the second, third, fourth parakim of Tanis. All the Mishnahs are front-loaded. They all present at the beginning of the parak, and then the Gemara does its standard explanation of the Mishnah. Why the Mishnah is not broken up, I don't know, but it's fine. That's just simply the way it is. I thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf of the Lenin Zeh and Ishmael Sosa Ben Zaltzman. We're still in the Mishnah. We have a little bit more Mishnah that we need to cover, finish up before we move on to the Gemara. You remember yesterday the Mishnah discussed the first topic of the discussion. The Mishnah was Duchening, which we're going to come back to. We're going to discuss in more detail today, the mitzvah of the Kohanim to bless the Jewish people. We'll come back to that. We'll explain the Mishnah even better. As long as the Mishnah had the opportunity to discuss Duchening, so back to the topic of Ma'amados, and the Mishnah went on to discuss the issue of Ma'amados, so we'll be discussing it also in more detail later today, so that's also coming up as a sneak preview. Then we talked about the Mishmaros, and we talked about Karban Eitzim. We did talk about Mishmaros. But then the Mishnah moving on to the topic of Karban Eitzim, where there were 9 occasions over the course of the year where specific families, 8 families to be accurate, were donating the wood to the Beit HaMikdash, and that was at the beginning of Bais Sheni, the beginning of the Second Temple, and then ultimately those days became fixed for those families in terms of special days for those families, like if you will, personal yontifs for those families. And the Mishnah actually went through and listed the 8 families that would be given in 9 days. Had the 8 families given 9 days? So if you remember, one of the families gave twice. Okay, and then the Mishnah went on to describe the five calamities that befall us on Shavuos HaBetamuz, and the 5 calamities that befall us on Tisha B'Av, and that's where we got to. And we are in the Mishnah. We're about 6-7 lines from the top of the Amud, and Mishnichnas in the Mishnah. We're continuing. Mishnichnas Av Mimaz Mesimcha. When you enter into the month of Av, so you minimize the amount of joy that you have. Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios Pesocha. The week that Tisha B'Av falls out in it. So you can't get a haircut, and you cannot launder your clothing. It's what we call in halacha Shavuot Shechabo, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on. So, for example, this year Tisha B'Av falling out on a Tuesday. So that means that week in which Tisha B'Av falls out on, Sunday, Monday, so the Mishnah says that you cannot get a haircut and you cannot do laundry. However, if let's say Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, which again, it's not going to happen. In our calendars, it won't happen. But if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, so then you would be allowed to get a haircut and you would be allowed to do laundry on Thursday, even though it's Tisha B'Av, it's the day before Tisha B'Av. Maybe a couple of Shabbos. But again, we have this idea that we have to honor Shabbos, we have to prepare ourselves for Shabbos. That whole week, we couldn't get a haircut, we couldn't do our laundry, and then Tisha B'Av is on Friday, and then what are you going to do in preparation for Shabbos? So there's an exception made in such a scenario where you can get a haircut and do laundry on the Thursday of that particular week. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam she'tav shilam. On Erev Tisha B'Av, a person is not allowed to eat 2 cooked foods. Lo yochal basar v'lo yishteh yayin. Don't eat meat and don't drink wine. Okay, we'll talk much more about this. I know we have a minug b'zmanenu that during 9 days before Tisha B'Av, already we don't eat meat and drink wine. Okay, we'll talk more about that as we get to the Gemara. Shem Gamul Omer Yishaneh Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Gamliel Amar Yishaneh. Rabbi Gamliel says you do some sort of deviation. What exactly that is, the Gemara is going to discuss. And Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev B'Tfilas Amita. And Rabbi Yehuda says that on Tisha B'Av we turn the beds over, much like an avel. Although nowadays this is not practiced, but much like an avel has an obligation to turn their bed over, so too on Tisha B'Av we turn our beds over. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But the Chachamim, do not agree to this position. The 2 happiest days of the year, in other words, the Mishnahs are coming to an end. This is really the end of the Masechta. Yeah, I know we have a week to go, but in terms of Mishnayos, this is the end of the Masechta. So rather than end off on a down note, which is what we've been discussing, fasting and Shiva Sabbatamas and Tisha B'Av, so now the Mishnah is going to end off on a positive note, an upbeat note. The 2 happiest days of the year are the 15th day of Av and Yom HaKippurim. Shebehem benos Yisham Yosef b'kli lavan, shualim. Women will go out on that day. Benos Yisrael. The daughters, meaning eligible girls. Benos Yerushalayim. eligible girls will be going out the day wearing clothing that was borrowed. Shalo yivai shes misha einlo. And why is everyone borrowing other people's clothing? Because there are those who don't have. And so therefore, if everyone's borrowing, so the people that don't have get to borrow and not be embarrassed. All the clothing are going to require tefillah in the mikvah, because you're buying it from people that you don't know how their shmir is in terms of their ability to safeguard from tumah tahara. And the Benos Yerushalayim would go out and they would dance in the vineyard. And what would these eligible girls say? Bachur sana inecho re'ei. Mata borelach. Alti ten enecha b'noi. Ten enecha b'mishpacha. Don't look at beauty, but look at family. Look at yichus. Shekar achein v'hevel yofi yishay ras Hashem yisitalal. And shekar achein of the beauty is false and hevel yofi and the and beauty is vanity, but a woman who fears God, she's praised. And I think we're all familiar, Parsha in the Perek of Eishes Chayil and Mishlei. The Chena Omer Tenorena Benosiyam Bemelch Shlomo Batarashi Itzralo Imo Biyom Chasenaso Biyom Simchas Libo. Gemara quotes another pasuk from Shir Hashirim. Go out and see the Benosiyon, the daughters of Zion. And they were crowned on the day of the wedding, and on the day of their joy. And the Mishnah goes on to explain the Yom Chasenasuzu Mantara. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim, when it talks about the day of the wedding, that's a reference to Mantara of Yom Simchas Libo, Zebinyan Beis Hamikdash, Yibana Yibanu Bimher V'Yamenu. And the day of Simcha, that's the day of the Beis Hamikdash being built, and it should be built speedily in our days. Ad Kan Divrei HaMishnah. Okay, and that really is the end of the Masechta in terms of the Mishnayos. So that's the Mishnayos wanted to end off the Masechta on a positive note. And so we talked about the two happiest days, and we talked about our wish and hope that the Beit HaMikdash will be built speedily in our days. Okay, Gemara, and we start with the Gemara. And again, what's going to happen now from here until the end of the paragraph is we're basically going to dissect the Mishnah piece by piece and analyze various portions of the Mishnah. The Shosha Parak Mishnah Kohanim Muslims Kapayim. So we go back to the first topic of the Mishnah, which is Nesias Kapayim, the Dilchanim, the Kohanim standing on the platform and blessing the Jewish people. And it said in the Mishnah that there are three times a year where they're duchening four times during that day. To which the Gemara starts off with a very simple question. It's technical, but it's simple. Tanya's Mamadas Meika Mosaf. Meaning the Mishnah goes on to describe, you know, on these three occasions, their Kohanim are going to be duchening four times. Shacharis, Mosaf, Mincha Ne'ilah. Mosaf, we only have a Mosaf when there's a Karban Mosaf. There's only a Karban Mosaf of the three occasions mentioned in the Mishnah, which are Yom Kippur, Ma'amadus and Taniyos. So the only time the Musaf is offered, a Kavanah Musaf is offered, is Yom Kippur. The only time that we daven Musaf is Yom Kippur. There's no Musaf on Tanis, and there's no Musaf on Ma'amadus. So what is the Mishnah talking about? It's a simple question. Chesur Mechtav Achik Tanis, the Gemara gives an answer. Yishlosha Prakim Kohan Musim is Kapayim Kloz Mashim is Palim. Okay. So now all we're going to do now is just say a simple Pshat in the Mishnah, and that is that on 3 days of the year, or three occasions in the year, we're going to duchen the Kohanim, we're going to duchen every available time. On some of those days, that can add up to as many as four times. Okay, good. So in other words, that's what the Mishnah's point is, very simply is, because there's no eating on these days, on a fast day, on a Ma'amados, on Yom Kippur, because there's no eating on these days, so therefore the Kohen is going to duchen every single available time. Of which it could be a maximum of four. The Elohim Shosha Prakim Taniyos Ma'amadus Yom Kippurim. Good. That's the Pshat in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah does not mean that there's going to be four davenings on all these occasions, because it's simply not true. Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Avu, Zudiv Rabbi Meir. Okay. Our Mishnah follows whose opinion? The opinion of Rav Meir. V'chacham Imam Mishach Chrismus of Yishman Nisiyas Kapayim Mincha Unila In Ben Nisiyas Kapayim. But there's an opinion of the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say that the Kohanim Duchen on a fast day, on Yom Kippur, let's say on Yom Kippur, only on Shacharis and Musaf, but not Mincha and Ne'ilah. Man Chachamim Rav Yehuda. Now, when we say Chachamim, we mean by that Rav Yehuda the Tanya. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Shacharis and Musaf, Mincha and Ne'ilah, Kilkon Yishman, Nisiyas Kafayim, Div Rabbi Meir. According to Rav Meir, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Duchen, every davening. Shacharis Mincha, Musaf Ne'ilah. Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shacharis Musaf Yeshman, Nisiyas Kapayim, Mincha Ne'ilah, Ein Bad Nisiyas Kapayim. Opinion number two is Rabbi Yehuda. that the Kohen on Yom Kippur only duchens on Shacharis and on Musaf, not Mincha, not Ne'ilah. And then there's a third opinion. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Ne'ilah Yishmen Nisiyas Kapayim, Mincha Ein Ba Nisiyas Kapayim. And Rabbi Yossi comes up with a compromise position where that on Yom Kippur, again, Shacharis, Musaf, everyone says the Kohen duchens. And the only question is, what about Mincha Ne'ilah? So Rabbi Yossi strikes a compromise. Mincha no, Ne'ilah, yes. Well, we're still in the middle. Let's first just get through the Gemara. So, b'may kam miflagi. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's give a svara. Let's give explanations for this machlokus. So, Rameus have a kol yomatayim my lo parshikani adaya b'minchas and mishim shechras. Okay, so the Gemara says, look, let's start with Reb Meir. Why is it that a kohen doesn't duchen during a regular mincha on a regular day? And the answer is shechras, because people tend to drink. Meaning, again, the schedule in the good old days was that it wasn't an early breakfast, it was a late breakfast. And like with every meal, so there's a little bit of wine in the course of the meal. So the chances are is that after Shacharis, on a regular day, once the Kohen starts eating, so included in eating is drinking, and he's going to get a little bit inebriated. And the Gemara is going to discuss in just a moment, an inebriated Kohen can't bless the Jewish people. So now, since that would be true on a regular day, but that's only when there's a day where there's eating. However, I didn't like a shechus, but today, meaning Yom Kippur, or for that matter, any fast day, but we'll talk about Yom Kippur because we're going to talk about Musaf, but on Yom Kippur, there's no eating, so Rabbi Yehuda suffered. I'm sorry, so like a shechus, there's no eating. And if there's no eating, there's no drinking, and therefore there's no concern of inebriation. So therefore, Rabbi Meir says, let's have him duchen every possible time, which would be Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha, Ne'ilah. Good. And Rabbi Yehuda suffered Shacharis, Musaf, Dechol, Yom, Alosh, Chayach, Shechus, Vazaz, Rabbi Rabbanan. Mincha Ne'ilah the Chol Yom Ashchich Hashechros Gazur B'Rabbanan. Now Reb Meir says, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, no, we're going to strike a difference between Shacharis and Musaf. Shacharis and Musaf, whenever there's Musaf, Musaf is done immediately after Shacharis, and so fine. So generally speaking, there's no drinking that occurs neither before Shacharis nor before Musaf. So therefore, in Yom Kippur, we'll keep it that way as well. Meaning they're not eating the whole day. Understood. But they're going to duchen on Shacharis Musaf like they would do on any other Shacharis Musaf opportunity. As far as Mincha Ne'ilah, since generally the Kohen is slightly inebriated by that point in time, so therefore even on Yom Kippur, it's like a low plug. Right? In other words, the rabbis made a decree, no duchening during Mincha, Ne'ilah as well. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. And then what's the compromise of Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi said, Mincha Deisa B'chol Yom HaGazol Yivei Rabbanan, basically, Rabbi Yossi agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that because typically the Kohen is slightly drunk by the afternoon, so therefore they don't duchen during Mincha, neither on Yom Kippur as well. However, Ne'ilah in of itself is a unique davening. Ne'ilah doesn't occur every day. Ne'ilah only occurs on a fast day and on Yom Kippur. I know Yom Kippur is a fast day as well. But Ne'ilah only occurs on those days. So therefore, the Chachamim are not going to make a gzera of Ne'ilah, even though by afternoon the Kohanim are typically drunk at that point in time. Again, drunk meaning they had a little bit of wine. They're right. It's like DUI. In other words, you're not drunk, but you can't operate a vehicle. Okay, they can't duchen as well. So for Mincha, which is the daily occurrence, so therefore the Chachamim made a gzera, Mincha and Yom Kippur. But Ne'ilah, which is in of itself a rare davening, the Chachamim were not gozer on Ne'ilah. We have a basic rule. That is something which is in a shkiach, the Chachamim didn't make a gzera. Ne'ilah is not shkiach, it's not simply not coming. Okay, Adkan. So therefore, what do we have so far? In the discussion of Kohen and duchening on Yom Kippur, we have three opinions. The opinion of Rabbi Meir is that they'll duchen every davening. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is only duchen on the morning tefillos, which are Shacharis and Musaf, not Mincha, not Ne'ilah. And then the compromise position of Rabbi Yossi. Kohanim will duchen for Shacharis and Musaf and Ne'ilah, but not Mincha. Okay? And now, question is a very simple question. Who does the halacha fall like? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, halacha ke Rabbi Meir. So we'll start off with the Amorayim. Rabbi Yehuda Amarav says the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Okay? Psak. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Nagu Am ke Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan says that the custom is like Rabbi Meir, And Rabbi Amar, Minna to Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi says that the Minna is like Rabbi Meir. Okay, so what's the difference? We are basically saying we follow Rabbi Meir, but we say in three different ways. What's the difference between the three different ways to say it? The Gemara actually spells it out. If you go like Rabbi Yehuda Amar, that says a halacha is like Rabbi Meir, so that means, that's a psak, meaning that the Rav gets up in the shul and he tells everybody, on Yom Kippur this year, we're going to follow like Rabbi Meir. Meaning, the Koranim are going to do him, Shachris, Mosaf, Mincha Ne'ila. Mandam and Minag, Mishishla, Deshinan, Ururi Marina. Now, if you say Minag, it means like this. It means that the correct halacha is like Rabbi Meir. But we don't broadcast this information. But if someone comes over and says, what's the, who does the halacha follow like? So we say the halacha follows like Rabbi Meir. So it's a nod to Rabbi Meir, but at the same time, we don't publicly broadcast it. Okay. Why not? It's a legitimate question, unclear in this middle position. And then Uman Amar Nahagu. Now Rava's position is that we follow Rabbi Meir. What does that mean? Or Ruy La Marina, meaning that the Rav doesn't paskin, meaning this machlokus remains a machlokus between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. There's no psak. The Avid below Mahadrin only. Now, if we're gonna follow Rabbi Meir, meaning if the Kohen and the Shul get up and duchen during Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha Ne'ilah, so we don't tell the Kohanim, no, don't go up, meaning we tolerate it, we accept it. An interesting Rashi, if we can, where Rashi writes, look at the Rashi, Divrei Maskil Ol Ruy, Ruyin, Rashi says to Rabbi Meir, Yasa L'Kamen, about the Pichol Odeshin, Dua Pshita L'Kulahai, V'Tav Alach K'Rab Meir. Uman D'Amar Nahagu, what Rashi says, what is this third opinion in the Gemara that the practice is like Rabbi Meir? So Mashma Hein Na'agume Elehem. This was a grassroots practice of the Kohanim Duchening on Yom Kippur, every one of the Tzilos. Ava Eino Iker. But really, that's not the main halacha. Meaning, we don't fundamentally follow like Rabbi Meir, but the people did it. Uminag Mashma Taras Minag Yesh B'davar Uminag Kasher Hu. And what's the difference between 2 and 3? Meaning 2 is minhag and 3 is nahug. So Rashi says minhag means minakasha. It's a correct minhag. Meaning it's a practice of the people. So it's what is acceptably done by the people, and it's correct. As opposed to nahug. Nahug means it's not really correct, but the people do it. Okay? It's one of those interesting discussions in terms of minhag and where exactly does it fall in terms of minhag, right? The Jewish practice, if you will. So nahug, the way Rashi describes it as being, it's not the minhag kosher, it's not the right minhag, but if it's done, so then it's tolerated. It's okay. Okay, with all said and done now, basically three different ways to say that the halacha falls like Rabbi Meir, a full endorsement, a partial endorsement, or just simply an acceptance of, okay, if you want to do like Rabbi Meir, that's fine. And Rav Nachman Amar Lachi to Rav Yossi, and then with all that in consideration, Rav Nachman says, no, the halacha is like Rav Yossi. Which, by the way, we know, generally speaking, that when Rav Yossi is against somebody, usually the halacha falls like Rav Yossi. Although here it's a little trickier, because it's not Rav Yossi against another colleague, it's Rav Yossi against two others, although the two others are not agreeing with one another. So it is trickier. Anyway, but Rav Nachman says, halacha is like Rav Yossi, and the Gemara comes to a full conclusion, the halacha to Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, Allah falls like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so now, where do we stand on Yom Kippur? Again, as Ashkenazim, where do we stand? Okay, you know where as Ashkenazim stand. But in other words, if you follow the halacha, which is a Kohanim Duchen every day, so what do you do on Yom Kippur? So the answer is, says the Gemara, the Gemara's conclusion is, we go like Rabbi Yossi, which means that Kohanim will Duchen during Shacharis, during Musaf, and during Ne'ilah, but not during Mincha. Again, you're thinking like an Ashkenaz. Right.
My question is, how does Ashkenaz look?
We don't look in Yom Kippur. No. Okay, good. We discussed this yesterday, but no. Kiva'ina my time of Hashem going on Yadam and Minchasid the Tanisa. So now the Gemara says, okay, with all this kept in mind, so now the Gemara says, now I have a very simple question. Which is, on a typical fast day in Eretz Yisrael, or for that matter, if you're down by the Sephardim here, so you notice in a typical fast day, Kohanim Duchen. So the Gemara says, based on what we just said, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. Meaning, we have just included in the Gemara, the halacha falls like Rabbi Yossi. Right, that's the Gemara's conclusion, which means that we're not going to duchen on Yom Kippur and Mincha. And meanwhile, on a public fast day, we duchen on Mincha. Why should that be? The Gemara gives a very interesting answer. Kevan de besamach l'shkias achama kaparshi ketzilas ni'ila danya. So the Gemara says, look, because on a typical fast day, when are we davening in Mincha? On Yom Kippur, we're davening Mincha in the early afternoon. Okay? On a typical fast day, Mincha is pushed off to the end of the day. Now, why that is exactly, why the Gemara assumes that is exactly, I'm not sure. But the Gemara says that we're davening Mincha typically at the end of the day. And because it's davening at the end of the day, on a fast day, so therefore, you know what we treat it like? We treat it like Ne'ilah. Meaning, as we just said, the halakha is like Rav Yossi, and the Kohanim would do during Ne'ilah, since on a regular fast day, the Mincha is done around Ne'ilah time, so therefore we treat Mincha like Ne'ilah. Okay, very interesting conclusion of the Gemara, and the Gemara says, v'chein halacha, that's the halacha. So, again, it's a good question, it's an old question, you know, it's struggled with it yesterday. Good. Okay. Okay. And as Tosfos points out, the difference between a fasting Yom Kippur vis-a-vis this particular halacha, meaning that on Yom Kippur, where we're davening Mincha early, so therefore Mincha and Yom Kippur is like Mincha during the rest of the year, which Kohanim do not duchen, even though on Yom Kippur you're not eating. Because again, the halacha falls like Rav Yossi. But on a regular, on any other fast day, says the Kohanim would duchen on a on Mincha on a regular fast day. I think so. It's been a while since I've done Eretz Yisrael on Yom Kippur. Okay. Oh, and another fast, yeah, and time this, yeah, they do them during a fast day. That I do remember. Okay, the Kuli Amamiya Shikar Asim Nisiz Kabad. Okay, good. End of the discussion. The Gemara says, you know, we went into this discussion with an assumption, and the Gemara says, can we just clarify this assumption? A Kohen that's drunk can't duchen. Okay, why should that be? So I'm not immediately. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Mishum Barkapal. I'm Nisbucha Parshas Kohen Mevarach Parshas Nozir. So the Gemara says, well, let's try attacking this question in the following manner. We know in Parshas Nozir we have two Parshas that are back to back, Nozir and Nisias Kapayim and Duchenin, and they're right next to each other. And why are they next to each other? Lomer Manozir Asa Biyain Afkoh and Mevarach Asa Biyain. So just like a Nozir can't drink wine, so too a Kohen Duchenin can't drink wine. Gemara says, no, come on. The Gemara says, Maskipo Abu the Rabbi Zir, Vamala Ushia Barzabda, Ima Nazir Osri Chatzan, of course, Mever Chosri Chatzan. You know, Nazir can't eat a grape. Can't eat the skin of a grape, can't eat the seed of a grape, and anything in between. And you mean to tell me that a Kohen Duchenin can't eat a grape? That's a strange conclusion. It's an erroneous conclusion. But meanwhile, based on your Hekesh, on your Smichas Parshios, that should be the conclusion, right? So Amr Yitzchak Gamakra Lishar So Ulevarach Bishma Ma Misharis Mutar Becharsan Afkon Mevarach Mutar Becharsan. So the Gemara says, well, if you look at the Pesukim, it says Lishar So to serve Ulevarach Bishma. So you know that a Mishari says anyone who serves is allowed to eat a grape. So too a Kohen Duchenin is allowed to eat a grape. So in Ma Misharis Bamum Lo Afkon Mevarach Bamum Lo. So the Gemara says, okay, slow down now. So you're telling me that it's a function of the avoda. Well, you know, a blemished Kohen can't do the avoda. You mean to tell me that a blemished Kohen can't duchen? So the Gemara says, Hi, itzvish l'nazir. So the Gemara says, well, let's go back to the hekesh between the duchenin Kohen and his ziris. A nazir could be a balmom, a duchenin Kohen can be a nazir. So my chazit l'mashal kula itzvish l'choma. So the Gemara says, now that seems to be unfair, what you're doing. Meaning, on one hand, you're saying that the Duchenin Kohen is like a Mesharis, it's like doing temple service, and just like a Mesharis can eat a grape, so too the Duchenin Kohen can eat a grape. On the other hand, you're saying, well, it's a temple service, so then a Balmum can't do it. The Gemara says, no. The connection between the Duchenin Kohen and the Nazir tells us that even if the Duchenin Kohen is a Balmum, he can bench. So the Gemara says, that's arbitrary. meaning we're basically using the Hekish as a kula. So the Gemara says, "Amachas is a makashal lekula, akashal chomra, asmachtaninu midrabanan ulekula." So the Gemara ends up concluding that you're right. This is really an asmachta, meaning this halacha that a drinking kohen cannot duchen. It's really an asmachta. It's really it's rabbinic legislation connected to the Torah with psukim, but it's really fundamentally rabbinic legislation, and therefore we have the right to darshan and be lenient in our drush, considering that fundamentally it's rabbinic legislation. What comes out from this Gemara pretty clearly, and Tosfos makes this observation, Tosfos not top of Chav Zayin and Aleph, is that if you're a Kohen and you're a Balmum and you're blemish, you have a physical blemish, which would prevent you from doing the Avodah, you could still duchen. Right? It comes out clearly from the Gemara, that the Kohen Balmum can duchen. And then Tosfos then brings this point to the next step, to the next logical conclusion. Well, we also know that there are physical blemishes for a Kohen, and there also are spiritual blemishes for a Kohen. When I say spiritual blemishes, what do I mean? How metaphysical do you think I'm talking? Okay, if you know me well, you'll know. I'm not that deep. So but when we talk about spiritual blemishes, we're talking about a Kohen who's a mummer, who rejects Torah. Torah Shabbatah. Torah Shabbatah. Torah Shabbatah. In other words, he rejects the authenticity of the Torah. So that is a Kohen Mummer. Can he do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is unequivocally no, he cannot. Can't do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so in other words, he has to be both physically unblemished and spiritually unblemished as well. Can such a Kohen Duchen? Now I know, if he's not a believer, so why would he be Duchening? I understand that, but you know, life is complicated, people are complicated, and can he duchen? So Tosfos says, yeah, he can. Meaning, just like the Gemara concluded that a Kohen with a physical blemish can duchen, Kohanim with spiritual blemishes can duchen as well. You want to see Tosfos inside? See, Tosfos writes at the end. So first Tosfos, and he writes at the end. So Yesh lochich the Kohen shehimir dato, and right halfway through the Tosfos, it's the third short line. So mikan Yesh lochich the Kohen shehimir dato. If a Kohen is Meimer Das, right, he left the reservation. I don't mean physically, but in other words, he's off base in his beliefs. So he's still out to Duchen. And Mikan Yesh Lochich, the Kohen Shemir Das, and Osikava, the Kasher, Lisa Kapa, of Likros Betara. So he can Duchen, he can read Betara, Kamo Shalohim, Yerayim, Yehad, the Kohenim, Shashim, Shabbat. Okay, fine, and he brings the proof as well. But anyway, good. So as Tosfos says, as long as the Gemara says that a blemish Kohen can duchen, so Tosfos says I'd venture to conclude that even if he's off the reservation spiritually, he can duchen as well. Yes. Not drinking and doing the avoda, but this is duchening. This is blessing the Jewish people. That's not an avoda. Okay. Haraya, a simple raya, we do it nowadays. Okay. It's not a voda. So that's why you can't conclude anything from there. So the Gemara says, okay, but the parsha of duchening is right next to Nazir, to which the Gemara says, okay, but that's really a smachta, meaning that's not a bona fide drasha. True, but in terms of what they're able to do, so they can't, under certain circumstances, they can't do the avoda, but as the Gemara just concluded, but they get still duchen. Okay. We're back to the Mishnah. We're explaining the Mishnah. We pretty much said this pshat in the Mishnah, but now the Gemara is going to spell it out. Why the institution of Ma'amados? Again, let's remind each other. The institution of Ma'amados is that not only Kohanim and the Levim are going to go to the Beis HaMikdash to do the Avodah on a rotational basis, but the Jewish people, representation from the Jewish people are also going to be involved in the avoda as well. Why should that be? How can you not have the owner of a carbon not there? Sorry for the double negative. Right, but the owner's got to be there. So So that's where we're going to have a system where all the Kohanim and all the Levim are going to be divided into 24 shifts, And furthermore, the Yisraelim also are going to be divided in ships. So what you're going to have is a representation of Yisrael at the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, who are going to be overseeing, quote-unquote, their carbon. Their carbon, they're representing the entire Jewish people. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara here now is going to quote a Braisa. Right? The Kohanim are broken up into 24 shifts. We will be spending a good amount of time now in the Gemara discussing where does this come from. So Tanur Rabbanan, Esrim Rabbah, Mishmaros, Be'eretz Yisrael, Ushtem Esrei B'Yericho. So there are 24 in Eretz Yisrael and the 12 in Yericho. The simple way to read the Braisa is 24 plus 12. That's a problem, because 24 plus 12 is 36. So Shem Esrei B'Yericho, Nefesh and Lehutova. To which the Gemara reacts, and the Gemara says, what do you mean? That means that the 36, and we've been saying as a blanket rule, there are 24 shifts. El Ashtem Esrei Mehen B'Yericho. So the Gemara says that of the 24 Mishmaros, what's happening is that 12 of the 24 are in Yericho. He gives man a mishmar la'alos, chatiyah mishmar haya'ola meretz Yisrael li'Yerushalayim, v'chatiyah mishmar haya'ola li'Yericho. And so basically what would happen is that you would have a mishmar going to Yerushalayim, and then there would be a split, depending where they're coming from, the north or the south, but you make some of them would go make a right turn to Yerushalayim, and some of them would make a left turn and go to Yericho, again, depending where you're coming from, I understand, but they would split it off. And why would there be a fraction or a section of the Mishmar headed towards Yericho? Because, again, you're going to be having a shift of Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim in Yerushalayim, and they need to be supplied with food and water. And who's supplying the food and water? It's coming from Yericho. Apparently, Yericho had excellent resources then, so therefore, basically, it was like the kitchen, if you will. Correct. Okay. Right. This is okay. I know what you're referring to, but I don't know. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul Kohen, believe me, strong the Akvinus Karban. Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul says that the Kohen Levi Yisrael are Ma'akiv is a carbon. Now that's very strong language. Ma'akiv is a carbon means that they hold back the carbon, meaning they're essential to the carbon. Now I say it's very strong language because let's talk in these terms. Right? Obviously, in order for a carbon to be successful carbon, you need a Kohen doing the avoda. Shechting, accepting the blood, walking the blood to the Mizbeach, sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach. Right? That's obviously. Those are four avodas and they're essential. Okay. It's also good to have the owner there at the time. But let's be honest with one another. If the owner of a carbon is not in the Beis HaMikdash at the time that his carbon is being offered, does that disqualify the carbon? No. The Kohen anyway is serving as a shliach of the owner. So this language of the Gemara that the Kohen and Levim Yisrael are ma'akev as a carbon. Ma'akev means they hold back the carbon, meaning that they're essential, totally essential to the offering of the carbon. It is very strong language, and quite frankly, it's difficult to understand that if Yisraelim are not there, well, then the carbon's no good. The Gemara here may be speaking a slightly hyperbolic in the way it's presenting it, or no, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Gemara here is to be taken literally. It is difficult to understand it. Yeah, but maybe. But again, in a standard carbon scenario, the owner not being there is not going to be a rejection of the carbon. All right, look, it's a. Yeah, but again, they're the even call them the owner. First of all, it's a communal carbon, which means that they are not the actual owner. It's the community that's the owner, and they're representing the community. So you know, even our term for them as owners, you know, we're going to be used. Look, in a braisa, it says that the Kohen Levi and musical instruments are ma'akev, they're essential. Now, we go back to the discussion that we had in Sukkah, fifth Perek, which is a basic question. Look, we know that there's a song that accompanies carbon. That we know. The question is, what's the definition of song? Is it the vocals or is it the instruments? And that's what's going on in our Gemara over here. The second braisa that says that the musical instruments are instrumental. Okay, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean it to be that smart. Okay, I'm not that smart, but fine. But they're instrumental, and that means then that according to the second brisa, if they're not there, then the karma's no good, because ikar shir is bekli. Because the main component of shir is with the instruments, as opposed to the previous position, which is that no, the vocals are the most important part, and there is musical instruments, but that is just simply to accompany. Amrav Chama Bar Gurya, Amrav Moshe Tikalim Yisrael Shmona Mishmaros. Okay, and now we're going to go through the evolving Mishmaros, meaning when Moshe set it up. So did he set up 24? So the answer is no. He didn't set up 24. And let's think about it for a moment. How many Kohanim were there in total during Moshe's day? So we know that he basically dealt with 5 Kohanim. Okay, there's his brother, and then there's his brother's 4 sons. And we also know, unfortunately, that he lost 2 of his nephews. So, meaning, you're talking about shifts of 24, when basically, in Moshe's day, you had Aaron, Elazar, Isamar. Now, maybe then we'll go to the next generation, and even if we do go to the next generation, but 24? So, okay, I'm just speaking intuitively. The Gemara now is going to tell us that Moshe instituted 8 Mishmaros. So Moshe Tikalim Yisrael Shmona Mishmaros Arba'am Elazar Ve'i, I'm sorry, Dalet, Arba'am Elazar Ve'i Arba'am Itamar. So 4 for Elazar and 4 for Itamar. Okay, so an equitable distribution of the Mishmaros, but Moshe only set up 8 Mishmaros. Okay. He was not elevated, meaning he was given Kohen status. But in other words, Elazar and Isamar are the two, okay? In other words, they were the two founding fathers, if you will, of the Kohanim, of Aaron, of course, being the founding father. Okay, so Bar Shmuel v'Amidal Shesh Esrei. Now we move ahead into history and we go to Shmuel HaRamasi. Now Shmuel HaRamasi is just a short 400 years later. And so now by 400 years later, approximate. So now you are working with a lot more Kohanim. He now divided it into 16 shifts, doubling the amount of shifts. And again, what happens is that every Kohen now is going to get assigned to a Mishmar based on the family that they belong to. And now David HaMelech, when setting it up, now remember, he didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, his son did, but when he set it up, he set it to 24 Mishmaros. Shenamar, and the Gemara now is going to quote Psukim, Vishnat Rabim Lamachus David, Nidrishu Vimsa Bahem, Gibor Achayel, Beyazar Gilad. Okay, so the pasuk here describes how David set up a system. What do you mean David set up a system? It means that he moved it from 16 to 24. Basically, the Gemara challenges Moshe Tikalim Yisrael Shmona Mishmar Sarbam Yelazar Varbam Yisamar. But David Shmuel Behemidam Al Ashim Varbash and Emar, Hemi Yisad David Shmuel, Arab Behemunasam. This Braisa basically agrees, but with one pronounced difference. In this brisa, we have Moshe setting up 8 Mishmaros, 4 for Elazar, 4 for Isamar, good. That agrees with the previous brisa. But then it says the jump is from 8 to 24, where Shmuel and David set up 24. Okay? And that's a slight departure from the previous brisa, because the previous brisa had 8 for Moshe Rabbeinu, 16 for Shmuel, 24 for David. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's not a major issue. We'll just simply say that it goes from 8 to 24, and the Braisa just left out the middle step, which is it jumped from 16, Shmuel made it to 16, and then David made it to 24. Tanya Yirich, the Gemara says that we are going to have another Braisa, and this Braisa clearly disagrees. This Braisa says, Moshe Tikalim Yisrael Shesh Esrei Mishmaros Shmona Elazar Shmona Isamar. Here now, according to this brisa, Moshe set up 16. 8 for Elazar, 8 for Isamar. Ukishurab b'nei Elazar b'nei Isamar. Now, in terms of the progeny, Elazar grew at a quicker rate, so that there were more children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren to Elazar than there was for Isamar. Chalkom emidam al esrim v'arba shenem ravim su b'nei Elazar rabim l'rashay giborim min b'nei Isamar, v'yichakum l'b'nei Elazar, rashim l'beis avos, shishar sol l'b'nei Yisar, Isamar l'beis avosam shmona. And then the pasuk says that what ends up happening is that Elazar gets 16, and Isamar gets 8. Okay, so basically, the Elazar family doubled, and the Isamar family stays at 8. ואומר בית אב אחד אחוז ללזר, ואחוז אחוז לאיסמר. Now what exactly does that mean? מי ואומר, what's the second pasuk coming to tell us? וחיתם, כי יחד דמפי שבני אלעזר, החנם דמפי שבני איסמר. So the Gemara says, שמונה מיקרא ארבע הבו. Look, we know where the numbers end up. We know that the numbers end up 16 for the Lazar family and 8 for the Isamar family. But maybe what we could have projected or speculated is that the original numbers were not 8 and 8. The original numbers were, let's say, 4, meaning 4 for Isamar, which doubles into 8. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Beisav, Echad, Echuz, La'alazar, V'Echuz, Echuz, L'Isamar. That's what we get from the second pasuk being cited, is that no. That for the family of Isamar, it remained a constant. They started by 8, they ended up on 8. Whereas opposed to the Elazar family started 8 and moved to 16. Either way, good. So that's the understanding of this Braisa. This Braisa clearly is not agreeing with the position of Chama Bar Gurria. Chama Bar Gurria says that the original institution of Moshe was 4 and 4, a total of 8. So you have to do Rav Chama Bar Gurria, Mocha Rav Chama Bar Gurria, Tanayi Vana Daminu, Haitan Damashmona. So the Gemara says, okay, Rav Chama Bar Gurria says, look, you're right. This Braisa doesn't agree with my position. Other Braisas do agree with my position. So I'm just going to maintain that's a machlokas tonight. Okay, so, good. Right, it's a good point. Adkan, this is the Gemara's discussion of, well, we're not totally done yet, but in terms of the Mishmaros. I don't know. Meaning, what do we gain from all this in terms of halacha? Unclear. But basically, we have a machlokas in the Gemara in terms of, we know there's a system. We know that the Kohanim were divided into a system. We know that Moshe divided the Kohanim into a system. And now it's just a question of what the actual numbers were. Either it starts off as 8 and ends up at 24, or it starts off at 16 and ends up at 24. Okay, Adkan. Adkan and Rabbanu were on the very bottom of Chazayin and Aleph. Arba Mishmaros Alu Minagola, Ve'alu Ve'eluhain, Yedaya Charim Pashchor Ve'ein Mar, or Imer. Okay, probably mispronounced. Okay, anyway, we've gone over this many times, but it's in Tanachim, and the Gemara here pointed out that when we came up to build Bayis Sheni, so the Jews in Bavel were very comfortable, and many Jews in Bavel, or let's say better, most Jews in Bavel stayed in Bavel. And only a small percentage of the Jewish people actually went up to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And of the 24 Mishmaros, now remember, for Bayis Rishon, there was a system where there were 24 Mishmaros. The Kohanim were divided into 24 different shifts, family shifts. And meanwhile, how many of them come up to build Bayis Sheni? 4 of the 24. Obviously, it's a very small number. Rashi does point out that there is a small problem over here, and that is that of the four families that I mentioned, one of them is Pashchor. And Rashi says if you check it up in Divrei Hayamim, you don't actually see the Pashchor as being one of the 24 Mishmaros. So Rashi says that's a problem, and Rashi says, okay, I don't know what to do with it, but again, Rashi is always very honest in terms of acknowledging when he doesn't understand something. Amdu Nevi'im Shebineim V'chalkim. So now, Ezra Nehemiah says, okay, right, they want to reward and punish. Reward the four families that do come up and punish the 20 that don't come up. So what does he do? So now there's going to be a redistribution, meaning of the four families that come up, so these four families are now going to receive the 24 shifts. So, nice easy math. So that means that each of these four families are now going to be receiving 6 shifts. How exactly are we going to determine which family is going to get which shift? So the Gemara says, Goro. That's going to be done by a lottery. So, Shabinim v'chilkum, we're now on the top of Chavzayin and Medbeis. Ve'amidam al-sim v'rabah, Bilam v'nasim v'kalpi. We put it into a lottery, the kalpi term that we use back in Yuma. So by Yedaya, so all of the four shifts, so Yedaya comes first, v'nat v'chalko v'chalik chavirav sheish. V'acharim v'nat v'chalko v'chalik chavirav sheish. V'chein pashchor v'chein imer. V'chein, here's the Nevi'im sh'b'neim sh'afilo yal yariv rosh mishmeres olah lo yidcha Yedaya mimkamo ela Yedaya ikar v'yoho yariv tatolo. And let's say the family Yo Yariv ever decides, you know, this is the Beis HaMikdash in Israel, let's leave Bavel, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. So the Nevi'im said, okay, Yo Yariv, we'll welcome you back. will even give you back a shift, but not your shift. The family of Yael Yariv were shift number one in the first Beis HaMikdash. But because they didn't come back to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, so therefore Yedaya received shift number one, and Yael Yariv, if and when they do come back, will get a shift, and Rashi points out, obviously, will take one away from the other four, so that there will always still be 24, but Yael Yariv will not get the first shift. Right. The Ma'amadus. But your question is good. I don't know.
You're assuming that all the Mishmaros stayed intact even after the sin.
Well, again, there's the Mishmaros of the Kohanim, and then there's the division of the Jewish people. The Mishmaros.
But the thing is that the Kohanim must have lived among those centuries.
Maybe. Unclear. I would only be speculating. Okay, let's do some more Gemara for today. Yisrael, Shabbos, Mishmar, Mitzkantim, Barim, Makorin, Vemaisa, Bracious. Now, what would happen during the Ma'amadus? Remember Rashi back in the Mishnah? Let's review. Rashi's in the Mishnah, back in the Mishnah, that it's easy to get confused because we're describing that the Jewish representation, the Ma'amadus, would be, the Mishnah described them as coming up to Yerushalayim, and the Mishnah described them as staying in their cities and having the extra davening and the fasting, and, well, which one is it? And Rashi said back in the Mishnah, both. Meaning, of the Ma'amadus, a portion of the Jewish representation, the Israel representation, would go up to Yerushalayim and literally stand over the Karban. And Rashi pointed out back in the Mishnah, be given menial work to do. Menial. It's a terrible way to say it. Meaning, but things which are not actual avodah, but in other words, work to do. And at the same time, there would also be a designated city in the 24 weeks, a designated city where that city would be doing the extra davening. And in that, during that week, what would they be doing? What would they be davening? So first of all, they would be fasting, as we're going to say in just a moment, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, not Sunday, not Friday, for reasons which we'll explain. And furthermore, every day of that week, Kriya Satorah, for that week in that city. So first of all, what would they be reading from? So the Mishnah already told us. Maisa Bracious. Why? Nani Mili, this is the Gemara. I'm a Rabbi Yaakov Baruch. I'm a Rabbi Yaakov Malaylai. El Malay Ma'amadus on this Kaimu Shemayim Ba'aretz. Meaning, we're basically saying, had it not been for the Ma'amadus, who are there supporting the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash and Karbanos, the world would not continue. Shenem Rabayam Hashem Elokim Bama Eida Ki Arishena. We have a conversation that takes place between Avram Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Parshas Lech Lecha. This is what we refer to as Bris Ben Abisarim. It's a covenant between them. How do I know that I'm going to inherit? So Amar Avram Ribono Shel Olam Shama Yisrael Chotam Ufanecha Ato Osel Lahem Kidur Hamavo Kidur Hafuaga. And basically Avram says, what assurances do I have that you're not going to destroy the Jewish people? And look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's be honest, you have a track record. Right, you have the flood, you have the Dor HaFlaga. Like, how do I know this is not going to happen? Amalei Labama Lefanu Rebbeinu Shalom Hodina Bamei Arishana. So Amalei Chala Egla Mishulasha VeEiz Mishulashes. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, Karbanos is the assurance. So Amalei Lefanu Rebbeinu Shalom Tenech Bezman Shebeis Hamikdash Kaim Bezman Sheina Beis Hamikdash Kaim Makeh Aleihem. So Avram says, okay, but still. That's when there's a Beis HaMikdash. What about when there's no Beis HaMikdash? So Amar Lo, Kfar Tekanti Lahem Seder Karbanos. So, okay, everyone's got to listen carefully. So the Gemara says, you got to read the Karbanos. Meaning, Karbanos, let's not be too honest with each other right now. But, you know, before Pesukah de Zimra, there's a section in Davening, it's called Karbanos. So the Gemara says, oh, that. That's the assurance that the world is going to continue. So when you read the Karbanos, it says this, you offer the Karbanos Lefanai. And that'll provide a mechila for all their sins. Okay. At time, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Okay, over the course of today, we finished the Mishnah and the Gemara discussion. First, in terms of just simply what's the pshat in the Mishnah, there's most of on Ma'amadus and on Taneus, of course, the answer is no. It just simply means that when you don't eat, you're fasting the entire day. So according to our Mishnah, you're duchening every occasion. three-way machlokas in terms of how many times the Kohen Duchen is on a fast day. The Gemara's conclusion, we pass on like Rabbi Yossi, which is that Yiduchen, Shacharis, Musaf, and Ne'ilah, not Mincha. Why do we Duchen during Ne'ilah? During Mincha and quote-unquote in a regular fast day, the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara gave an answer. And then we spent a good part of today talking about the Mishmaros, the division of 24 Mishmaros, the genesis of that, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then we ended up today discussing the purpose of the Ma'amados and why they learned from Maaseh Bereishis.